What if I told you in 100 years you could grow a new organ for yourself out of cells from your own body? I'd like to introduce you to Salma. She's 40, a busy mother of four, working full-time trying to juggle. She has diabetes and one working kidney. But Salma isn't worried. She's getting a brand new kidney in just a few weeks when she'll have it implanted back into her body. So, how does Salma get her kidney? Well, it's been grown for her from cells that came from inside her mouth. Cells that were converted into stem cells, which can become any type of tissue. Salma's were developed into embryo models, which were able to develop a whole kidney, complete with blood vessels. It's hers, a perfect match. This is the potential future of organ transplants. Salma's story hasn't happened yet, but it could. This is a future where anyone could grow new parts of themselves from blood to brain tissue whenever they need it. I'm Marnie Chesterton. I'm a science journalist and I explore our big questions about science. I'm joined by Dr. Naomi Morris from the Francis Crick Institute. Naomi, why are you interested in stem cells? What about this subject interests you?
Oh, well, I've been interested in stem cells for a long time. I think they're amazing how they can generate any cell type of the body. And they do that by coordinating with one another. And so I'm fascinated by how cells interact and how they end up forming these patterns and organs and tissues that can be really useful for society.
Well, let's talk about one of those organs, Salma's kidney. How do you get from some stem cells to a whole kidney?
Well, there are lots of potential ways. I think in this case, if we're thinking about embryo models, this is about putting stem cells together and allowing them to interact in such a way that they kind of recapitulate what they would do in a normal embryo. And so they are talking to one another, they're setting up different patterns and organizations, and that leads to the output of different tissues and potentially even different organs.
So you get the stem cells, you get them to grow an embryo model, so sort of like an embryo, but just from these stem cells, not from egg and sperm, grow that up, extract a kidney?
Theoretically, I mean, we're not there yet. We can certainly make different tissue types, so the very early precursors to muscle or neurons or skin. So we're not yet at the stage of forming complete organs with these models, but it's possible in 100 years we might be. And so it's really interesting to think where this technology could lead us.
Why would you go for growing the entire embryo when you could just grow the tissue type for the kidney?
So you could, and there are people doing organoid research where they're focusing just on one specific organ. I think the benefit of having a complete embryo model or a more integrated embryo model with different organs is that you can start to get interactions between tissues that are very hard to reproduce in the lab. So, for example, the kidney has these blood vessels in order to enable it to filter the urine effectively. And that would be really hard to generate with just a kidney organoid by itself. So having multiple tissues interacting can sometimes be really helpful for getting more complex structures. Of course, the embryo is brilliant at making kidneys. The embryo makes hearts and brains. So it's really about kind of leveraging that capacity of the embryo cells to do it in a dish.
And in our scenario with Salma's kidney, it's grown really fast.
Yeah, I think probably a few weeks is unrealistic, even in 100 years. But certainly the process might be quicker than it would be to get to that same stage using an actual embryo, which obviously takes 9 months. So there is a potential to kind of speed things up in the dish. We can start from slightly later stages, for example. So things can happen faster or slower and bypass certain stages.
What do you mean you can bypass certain stages?
Well, all embryo models will bypass sperm and egg, because we're not starting from that same time point. So we're bypassing fertilization. We're bypassing the initial cell divisions that happen at the very earliest kind of few days of embryo development. And then some of them will start off looking like an embryo after it's implanted. So there's a whole range of kind of time points at which we could start the experiment. And that gives us a lot of flexibility, but it also raises interesting ethical questions as well.
So that's our hypothetical future scenario. Where are we now?
embryo models exist. We can generate these embryo-like entities. Some of them are just representing parts of embryos, and others might represent a more complete embryo structure.
When you say parts, what parts?
So, for example, you might have an embryo model that has all of the cells that make up the early placenta, or one that doesn't have those cell types. Or you might have an embryo model that has just the neural tube, so the precursor to the spinal cord. It's very modular, and I think that's been a big surprise of the last kind of 5 years of the research, actually, that we can kind of pick and choose which bits of the embryo we want to reproduce in a dish, or which stage of embryo development we want to reproduce in a dish. And so we're still kind of figuring out the science of that and kind of improving the technologies, but it's exciting to see where the research will go.
And is the point of growing a bit at the moment to see how all the bits fit together?
I mean, yeah, basically, we don't know a huge amount about human embryo development because we just can't get access to samples at these stages. So anything that we can learn about how an embryo is formed, how tissues interact, how cells make decisions, that's all knowledge that we just didn't have access to in the past. So yeah, a lot of it is just literally finding out more.
What do we need to move forward from what sounds like the basic research that we're doing at the moment to Salma's kidney? How do we get there?
So a big challenge I think that's facing the field and really our society at the moment is what do we want to do around the regulation of these embryo models? So at the moment, embryo models kind of fall between the cracks. They're not complete embryos. They're not regulated like human embryos are, which are obviously very strictly regulated. And they're not just stem cells in a dish. We might want to think about how we regulate them. And so we're really at a point now where we need to have a conversation about what do we think of these structures? Where do we want to draw the lines? What sorts of limits should be in place and who should decide those limits? So there's a lot of question mark about how we regulate moving forward.
Yeah, every scientist that I've spoken to says it's very important that we need regulation. They're definitely saying we want boundaries, but they're also saying I'd like the regulation to still allow me to do the research that I'm really interested in because it's very important that I do this.
So we're only allowed to grow human embryos up until 14 days, which is relatively early. The embryo is basically just a flat disc at that point. Very little has happened in terms of cells making decisions. And that point was picked because it was exactly as you say, that kind of balance between allowing researchers to do some science, but allowing the public to feel comfortable. The question with embryo models is that there's no clear line and there's no time point at which we could draw an obvious parallel with embryo research itself. So what is it we want to protect? What is the feature that we want to stop from occurring?
That's the limit for embryos, but that limit doesn't apply to embryo models.
No, and I don't think it could apply to embryo models because they don't necessarily follow the same timeline as the embryo. You can kind of bypass the whole beginning part of embryo development and start from a later time point. And they might model features of the embryo, but not the complete embryo. It would be very hard to apply the same logic exactly to embryo models. So to some extent, we need to come up with new ways of regulating and new principles by which we should formulate that.
Do they look similar?
They can do. So some of the early embryo models look very similar, if not identical, to embryos before they've even implanted. And I think even the trained eye would struggle to tell apart some of these models from the actual human embryo. They don't have to. Some models don't look anything like the early embryo.
So if a stem cell embryo model looks pretty much identical to an embryo, what is the difference?
This is a major question. At the moment, even stem cell models that have been made from mouse cells, for example, if you put them back into a mouse uterus, they might implant, but they won't go any further. So there's something about them that is preventing them from doing normal development like an embryo does. So we're not completely sure what that is. You obviously couldn't ever put these into a human uterus. I think that would be wildly unethical and illegal in the UK. So you can't ever do the test of saying, well, actually, this now is effectively indistinguishable from an actual human sperm and egg derived embryo.
I'm just wondering, if you currently can't keep an embryo model alive, implanted and take it to term, isn't that just a temporary glitch in the science? Is that something we'll be able to fix in the future?
It's entirely possible that we might one day get to a point where the human embryo models are effectively capable of giving rise to a complete fetus, for example. I don't know that will definitely be possible, and I don't know how long that's going to be. And I guess the big question is, would we want that to happen? We might decide that actually we want regulation in place before we ever get to that point. But scientifically, technically, it's possible.
So our future scenario talks about Salma's kidney. And I'm just wondering, are there limits to this? I mean, can you grow any part of the body? Can you grow a brain, for example? I mean, could you grow an organ that doesn't even exist yet?
I mean, I think the power of the technology is that we're using the cell's innate kind of programs to make organs as they do in embryos. So anything that the embryo makes, theoretically, we could make with an embryo model. So yes, any part of the body. Whether we could make new body parts, I think that's unlikely because, as I say, we're using this innate logic that the cells have. But it's possible we can tinker with things. So we might be able to change certain genes or slightly adjust things. But I mean, we'll have to see. The technology is moving so fast that it's hard to predict 10, 20 years down the line, let alone 100 years.
All our views on this are important. The scientists working on this today want your help so they know what you care about. As the public, what benefits do we want to see from this research? What's okay and what's not? Where are our red lines? Everyone needs to be part of the conversation because this research will affect our lives and the future of generations to come. And it's fast moving, so we need the law to keep up. The time is now. We want to hear your thoughts. Share them with us.